Hey guys, welcome to another quick podcast. This is a series of podcasts I'm making for intermediates, and today's episode is on luck. Some very quick upsells before we begin. You can find all the information for my books, my Patreon and coaching on my website, that's thomascrownpway.com. For my books, I sell my first year of day game memoir, texting guide, intermediate textbook, and a book of all my best blog posts. You'll find all the information for my Patreon, where I have infields, analysis, and exclusive Q&As and content. We're doing texting and dating analysis right now as well. You can also find all the information on my website for coaching, whether that's by consultation or infield. Again, that's thomascrownpway.com. Lastly, you can follow me on X at @crowndaygame. If you think that you have a good topic or question for these series of podcasts, then DM me there or send me a message via my website. Okay, let's get stuck in. So this is a really quickly put together podcast for the quick podcast series. And what I really would like to do today is read a couple of passages from a couple of my books. The first one is from my first book, Demolition Lovers. That is that first year of day game memoir. And the second one is from an upcoming book of mine, which is going to be my beginner's guide to day game. So you may know I have my beginner's guide to texting. That's volume 2 in this series. I made that first, and now I'm making volume 1, which is going to be the beginner's guide to the street part of day game. So let's start with the part, the section from Demolition Lovers. And this is from a mini chapter. So the way the book is structured is there are lay reports, and between each one there's a mini chapter which talks about an aspect of each lay. So this one is called The Butterfly Effect, Ruminations. The more I did day game, the more I thought about how things lay on a knife edge, trying to fathom all of the little collisions and explosions of energy which have coalesced to put that particular girl in front of you, at a time in her life when she's up for adventure and available to have sex. Let's take Zoe for example. What if she'd continue eating for a little bit longer? When I started talking to her, she had that little pot of fruit. What if she'd stayed sitting down to eat it? Would I have approached? How about this? She was going to meet friends and had time to kill, which was why she was sitting there. What if she'd left at the right time? The mind boggles. And what about me? What if I turned back down... Excuse me, sorry, I just had to stop there to cough. What if I'd carried on up Tottenham Court Road towards Warren Street? What if I'd seen another girl and approached? Heck, what if I'd just walked past her 2 minutes later? Let's go even further back. What if I'd gone home at lunchtime? What if I'd not day gamed that day? Now even further. What if I'd stopped day gaming after Macy? What if I had made one of the other girls my girlfriend and decided not to continue? Go even further. What if I had had success with women during my teenage years, which meant I didn't chase after industrial quantities of them because of my scarcity mindset? I could trace it all the way back to day one for me and for the girl. It made me wonder whether fate exists. Not in an omnipotent man in the sky making decisions way, but the notion that everything has already been decided by what comes before it, that our lives are just an infinitely traceable decision tree. If that's the truth, then choice is an illusion, and all of these things were meant to be. It reminds me of something that the Oracle says in The Matrix, that the choice has already been made, now you just have to understand why you made that choice. You are, in effect, already on the path, so you just have to accept it. And acceptance is the key component of inner game progression. You accept yourself warts and all, your hopes, dreams, desires and fears. Unfortunately, this isn't something that can be done in a weekend retreat. You have to live and learn. Live through the choices you've already made and work out why you made them. Over time, you'll predict how you're going to act before the moment itself, but there will still be moments where you'll surprise yourself. Then you'll have yet another hole to explore. It also reminds me of something written by Miyamoto Musashi. Think of yourself lightly and the world deeply. There's nothing to gain by rebelling against things you can't change. I see this all the time at work, and I think it contributes the most to my colleagues' unhappiness. They're expending effort complaining about things they can't change. In day game, guys complain about girls flaking, or them coming out on a date and then not having sex. This is something you can influence, but remember the choice is already made. The pieces will land as they do, and there's nothing you can do about it. The second part of that quote is to consider the world deeply. Deep puns aside, everything in the girl's life has, at every moment, been building up to this version of the now. There are a billion tiny events which have ended in her being in front of you. Pay attention to that fact. Why is she here? Why is she walking around alone? Why is she wearing those clothes? Why is she casting about with her eyes? Why is she flicking her hair? Why, out of hundreds of women, did you notice her? You get the gist. So we're brought full circle. I started this stream of consciousness with a list of what-if questions. Ultimately, it's a fruitless exercise. The decisions were already made. There is no what-if. There is only meant to be. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that passage from Definition Lovers. And yes, the passage is a lot about determinism, but it's also about luck, because it's talking about all those little events that have brought her into contact with you today. And that's one thing that you just have to have on your side in your day gaming. Luck, you know, could talk about SMV components like status, looks and behaviors. You also need to have that intangible valuable for luck. You have to be the right guy at the right time. Let's move over to the passage from the new book. And this is from the section on what women find attractive. And it is called, it's a little pop-up box, and it's called Hypergamy and Luck. You might have heard of hypergamy before. The fact that women want to trade up in terms of how attractive their man is in all senses of the word. But I want to give a warning here. Things aren't as black and white as once a Chad comes along, she'll immediately dump you. We also need to think about luck. If a girl grows up in one S&P, she might end up with a certain guy. She might meet a guy through her social circle, work, or local community group, for example. If they change S&P, then she might come into contact with guys of a higher level, or maybe a day gamer rolls into town and is more attractive than the local guys. But just because, on paper, the other guy's S&V is higher than the local, it is not inevitable that she will break up or cheat with him. Far from it. Things like loyalty and love, i.e. emotional bonding, exist and go beyond a cold transactional race to the top. We do not live in a world of perfect assortative mating. So perhaps we should include another S&B component, luck. Girls are attracted to lucky guys, in a sense, because the guy had to be there in the right place and at the right time for something to happen. I have a distinct memory of going to a networking event at university and our hiring manager for a company was asked, "What do you look for in a CV?" He jokingly answered that whenever he got a pile of CVs, he would run his hand down the side, stop at an arbitrary point, pick the CVs up from above that point, and put them in the bin. His reasoning was, we don't want to hire someone who's unlucky. And it's the same with girls. This links into my earlier point that you can't simply steamroll girls using high S&V. I think that overall it's better to think about hypergamy as standards. If a girl is with one level of guy right now, then future guys should be at the same level or higher. And when it comes to whether she would cheat or not, there are so many other factors such as her horniness, her proclivity to cheat, and the state of her current relationship. So again, I hope you enjoyed that little snippet. And that's from an upcoming book that I have, My Beginner's Guide to Day Game. I'm hoping to bring that out before May. But I'm really hoping, best case scenario, in March at some point. So those two passages are about luck. You have to be the right guy at the right time to get the girl. And one thing I'd want to really highlight from that second passage is that we don't live in a world of perfect assortative mating. Now, of course, if you think to yourself, okay, well then luck, that's great, but like, how do I become luckier? Well, you can't become luckier as such. You know, if you buy a lottery ticket, you have a certain probability to win, but then you can't do anything to change those odds. If you buy two lottery tickets, well then the calculation is still the same. Now you just have two lottery tickets. But one thing I recommend, really highly recommend, is read a book called The Luck Factor by Richard Wiseman. I'll put a link to Amazon into the show notes. And what this guy did, the whole book is based around a study of people with lucky mindsets. So he went and asked people, like, do you consider yourself to be lucky, unlucky, or neutral? Roughly 50% of people consider themselves lucky, and I think it might be 20 to 30% split, you know, of each one, or maybe 25% each of the unlucky and the neutral. And then what he did was asked the lucky people, what are your mindsets? And then he asked the unlucky people, what are your mindsets? And of course, the point is to follow the former and avoid the latter. A main part about trying to be lucky was, you know, he didn't necessarily say you have to become very extroverted, but it's making small connections here and there as you go out your day. So one thing you can do is always say to, say, the barista, the cashier, the clerk, the receptionist, the stewardess, the waiter, the barman, anybody that you come into contact to, is to say, oh, hey, how's your day going? And then, if you're in a queue at a bakery and someone's looking at the cakes, you could just make a comment like, oh, wow, there's so many delicious options. Or even just making little comments out loud to no one in particular. Sometimes I'll walk past the big queue and say, oh wow, it's busy here. And these little things, they get you out of your head, and they especially get you out of your head and into the real world if they end up in a very short 30-second conversation with someone, which they often do, because people are so starved of human contact, especially service workers, where they're working in Pret and they're treated like, you know, coffee slave, go get me my coffee, and you treat them like a human being, and they perk up and they are really nice to you. You probably get some free stuff. I've got quite a few free cookies and croissants and stuff before from that. And then as well as just being more out, slightly more outgoing, talking to more people is taking more chances. So in the book, you know, they give, like these typical self-help books, they'll say things like, oh, someone struck up a conversation in the queue for their coffee, and then they, 5 years down the line, they're partners in a billion-dollar company with that person. You know, we're thinking more like approaches. You know, so the more times you approach, the more chances you get to get lucky, as it were, in both senses of the word. And most of the time, the opposite applies to the unlucky people. You know, they don't take chances. They don't make little comments. They aren't sociable, or at least they don't try to put themselves outside of their body and into the world. One other thing, especially, is in mindset, which is that lucky people tend to see the positive side, even in negative events. So, for example, let's say a person gets hit by a car. The unlucky person says, oh, that was so unlucky to be hit by the car, and I broke my arm. Whereas the lucky person says, oh, thank goodness, I'm still alive. I only broke my arm. Or the unlucky person says, oh, it's raining today. And The lucky person says, oh, it's raining, but at least it's not snowing. Or even they could say, hey, you know, it's raining, but it's somewhat atmospheric to take a walk in the rain. Something like that. So genuinely putting that positive spin on things. So it kind of comes into vibe, the luck thing. Luck is attractive because you want to be the right, you want to be at the right place at the right time with the right girl, but also to be the right guy, maybe you need to be a lucky guy in the sense of happy-go-lucky vibe, positive vibe, which this book really helps with as well. Okay, I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Again, that book is going to be coming out hopefully in March, but I would really hope so before the end of April. So look out for it. And one last thing is there's a thing on Spotify where if you you can leave your comments on the episode. It's under the Q&A box, so you can say, it says like, what did you think of this episode? So leave any comments you have in there. Okay, I hope you enjoy this episode.